Thank you.
We will move to item number 24, Habitat Projects and the CREP update.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. Ryan Weininger here, South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Habitat Program Administrator. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you, yes.
Okay, I'm working on sharing my screen here, so give me a second, please. All right, are y'all able to see that?
Yes, we are, yep.
All right, well, good Friday morning to everybody. Go ahead and jump into the presentation here. We got some exciting things to talk about, I guess, on what's going on in the habitat world, both from a private land side and a public land side. And just want to share a few highlights, I guess, from the spring things that are going on. So first, I want to start off on some private land programs that we have and some of the things that are happening with those. We do have a private lands food plot program, as many of you are probably aware of. This spring here, we have about 930 cooperators, up a little bit from last year by about 20 or 25 cooperators. So adding some new folks to that program. Our acres enrolled or re-enrolled from last year are right around 11,600. That's also up with those new cooperators being added. A lot of effort this spring by a lot of different staff across the state, whether it's conservation officers or a lot of our habitat staff getting seed out to those individuals who are interested. Corn, sorghum, brood mix, and a big game mix are the primary options that we offer for anybody in that program looking for seed. So there's a big effort that goes underway there, whether it's picking up at regional offices or having some pickup sites scattered throughout their different regions for cooperators to come pick up seed, have conversation, and maybe ask questions, whatever it might be regarding the food plot program. So a lot of effort there, and thanks to all the staff who helped get that seed out the door. Wanted to share that we did start offering a big game mix this year. It's a new mix that we're offering through this program. It includes 9 different species. You can kind of see the different mix or the different species there, a lot of small grains and cover crop type species that are really good for not only wildlife use when you're talking big game, but also for soil health. Provides a great rotation. If someone's looking to maybe mix up planting corn on corn every year on one of their food plots, it's just a good alternative to change things up a little bit. So we did see quite a bit of interest in that program. We expect that it'll continue to grow as the years go on and people are made aware that we are offering it. We had about 625 acres worth of seed that we were able to get out the door here this spring for that type of mix. And that mix does offer a little later planting date, primarily around that August timeframe. Catch some good, hopefully late summer rains and get that stuff greened up and growing for the fall and winter deer seasons. So moving into the next private land program, the Woody Habitat Program that we offer. Just kind of an update on that. We had 52 different cooperators that had contracts with us this spring to plant trees, about 157 acres, which is up from about 102 acres that we did last year. Hopefully most all those acres will get planted this spring. There may be a few exceptions where, you know, conditions might not allow, whatever it may be, but 157 acres hopefully getting planted here this spring. As you're aware, we've had a lot of really good moisture, good conditions for growing trees, getting things started off in a good habitat or good soil conditions, I guess I should say. So, and then we'll also be starting work with a lot of landowners. It's never too early to reach out to us if you have an interest in planting trees. And I know a lot of our staff will be out there visiting with producers as well to start planning for next year already and getting those contracts signed and getting plans underway. So. And also want to throw a plug out there, I guess, to the conservation districts across the state. They provide immense amount of effort here planting a lot of these trees for us and the producers, and just want to shout out to them as well for their work and contributions to the program. A new program that I want to share with you all that is a partnership. This Regional Conservation Partnership Program, RCPP, is a USDA grant that provides quite a few dollars across the country to conservation type projects where partnerships are taking place. Ducks Unlimited here recently was awarded an RCPP grant through USDA and NRCS. The title of that award or that project was Working Grassland Partnership. So the partners here for this particular grant were South Dakota Game Fish and Parks, the Grassland Coalition, Audubon Great Plains, the Soil Health Coalition here in South Dakota, and then also the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Partners for Wildlife Program. So that grant was $25 million to be spent over the next 5 years here. So a large chunk of change to put on the ground. There's several EQIP practices that are eligible through the grant, but also the main focus of the grant that all the partners are really trying to focus on is deferral payments for grassland establishment on cropland that's seeded back to grass. So essentially, if a cooperator puts some cropland back to grass, some of those marginal acres that maybe aren't as productive, seed some of those down to grass, we're going to provide through this grant some initial payments to help offset maybe their revenue for those first few years while that grass gets established. That rate will be based on the county CRP rental rate, be made available for the first 2 or 3 years while the grass establishes. And then after the grass is established, that parcel can be incorporated into their livestock operation to be grazed throughout the year as needed. Or it can also be hayed, but we're asking cooperators to defer haying till after the 15th of July, just to avoid those nesting upland game birds. Another way that we are helping with it, Game Fish and Parks has their own grass seeding program where we provide up to $125 an acre for seeds, so we can jump in and help with those initial seedings and getting the grass on the ground first, and then this grant here can help with those deferral payments. So. And then we can also provide some grazing infrastructure cost share. So after those first 2 or 3 years, the grass is established, we can come in and help put some grazing infrastructure, some fence, water, whatever it might be needed to help with a good grazing rotation on those parcels. So great partnership there with a lot of different groups in South Dakota, and looking forward to moving that one forward here over the next few years. So. Jumping into some of the private lands programs, things that are going on in our game production areas. Prescribed fire was one of those things that we were pretty active in this spring. We burned 52 different units across the state, total about 3,100 acres, with about two-thirds of that being on GPAs and then another third of it on some of our park properties. We had much higher goals, I guess, than that, but weather is a huge limiting factor when it comes to fire. As you probably all remember, we had some dry days early on. We had some red flag warnings, a lot of wind and dry conditions that prevented a lot of this work from getting underway. And then going forward, yeah, some wind and rain days for any of the producers out there struggling to get row crops in and things of that nature. The rain obviously is very welcomed, but kind of hampered some of our work here. And so we didn't maybe get as much done as we wanted to, but still a lot of good acres that were impacted and improved for wildlife habitat. Potential for maybe a few burns to take place here this spring yet in a few locations, but kind of wrapping up our burn season for the most part. And again, prescribed fire is one of our best grassland management tools, and next to grazing, it's the best tool we have out there to manage our grasslands for quality habitat. Tree planting on some of our game production areas. That's another thing that takes up a bunch of our time here in the spring. Planted a total of 38 acres this spring here on our GPAs. Quite a drop from last year. We had 140 acres last year, and a lot of that was a result of just we had a lot of belts going in last year, and we needed to come back and do some hand plants in those belts to make sure that you know, they're ample, good cover for those severe winters that we don't have big gaps or species that maybe didn't make it here over this first growing period that were planted last spring. We want to make sure that they have a good establishment at the same time as the rest of the species that were planted last year. So a lot of work went into some hand plants there, taking up additional time. And then just establishment and maintenance and upkeep of some of these newer plantings that we've done the last couple of years, just a lot of new acres out there of trees. And with that comes a lot of work to mow in between rows and keep weeds at bay and make sure those belts establish very well here the first few years. So it's a little more effort being tied up there as well, limiting what we can do. And then also, you know, a lot of the project sites that we had for trees here the last couple of years, we were able to put a lot of trees in the ground. And so we're kind of meeting the needs of what we need on several of our areas. And as we go forward, we'll continue to evaluate and prep some new sites where needed and you know, make sure that we're taking into consideration what winter cover may be needed on those particular GPAs going forward. So. And then lastly, I wanted to touch on another funding source here that we've been able to secure. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service received some funding here in the Midwest, the Prairie Pothole region. They're receiving quite a few funds to do some work within their refuge areas and on their waterfowl production areas. But a portion of those dollars that were given to them were required to come over to the states within the Prairie Pothole region, so eastern South Dakota. Game Fish and Parks received $1 million through that grant for grassland and wetland work on our game production areas. We're planning to have most of those dollars on the ground in the next 2 years. And so just kind of give a breakdown of where those funds will be focused is we'll be looking at native grass and forb plantings along with grazing infrastructure for grass management. We have right now identified about 1,600 acres of new native grass and forb plantings to be planted over the next 2 years. So quite a few acres there. We're looking at doing high diversity type stuff, lots of forbs, good production for young pheasant chicks, things of that nature. So that's a big effort. And then the other effort, other focus is about 38 miles of fence for and some livestock water. This is really just to be able to manage a lot of our grassland habitats that we have out there. Obviously, prescribed fire, we can't get to all of them. And our next best tool is grazing management. And so we're trying to provide some infrastructure there so that we can adequately manage our grasslands to be productive. So, and some additional projects there, grassland enhancement through some removal and chemical treatments of some invasive woody species. Wetland restoration projects in a few different areas, and then some small water impoundment stock dam type work in a few areas as well. So a lot of good work going on there and looking forward to getting a lot of new grass on the ground. And with that, I'll stand by for any questions.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, how are you reaching out to the private landowners to let them know about these programs? Is it just by them looking on the website or the different regions reaching out to landowners in their area to participate?
You bet, through the chair?
Yes.
Yeah, Commissioner Beast, yeah, there's a lot of effort going on with delivery of our programs. Our private lands habitat biologists probably at the front lines attending various workshops and gatherings, whatever it might be, a local sportsman show, various producer events, workshops that are out there, and then going door to door, just talking with producers and through those conversations, sharing the various programs that we do have available, whether it's the GFP program or another entity that is providing some type of incentive to put some habitat on the ground. But beyond the private lands folks, we are sharing, I guess, through whether it's emails to some of our users, whether it's conservation officers, front office staff, wherever it might be, where it's all hands on deck, I guess, type of approach when everybody has an opportunity talking with a landowner, they're trying to share the various things that we at least have to offer. And maybe not all of our staff have the specific details or knowledge of things, but they can at least maybe plant that seed, share some of those programs that are available, and then get them to the right staff who can help them. So, and then I don't want to forget about our partner positions with the Pheasants Forever Farm Bill biologists that are out there delivering a lot of our programs and many of our other NGOs that we work with from time to time, NRCS offices, conservation districts. There's a lot of individuals that we're trying to get the word out on these various programs. So,
Nick.
And Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, if I could add on Ryan's statements too, probably one of our best tools to reach landowners beyond the face-to-face interactions would be our Landowners Matter. And what that is, it's a goes out in the spring and it goes out in the fall, and that goes out to every single landowner in South Dakota. You're looking at a list of over 40,000 folks that received this print publication, and that's really the way for us to sell our programs and really showcase, you know, reach out to your private lands biologist, reach out to your Game Fish and Parks office. We have success stories. You can kind of see the before and afters. You can kind of see some of these really well-highlighted projects, and then we also kind of have ways. Look at CRP. We have this enrollment period coming. These are what some of these rental rates might be. So that's a really effective tool. And then beyond that, where we reach even the general public as well, would be our Conservation Digest, where we're always showcasing habitat stamp projects, these types of stories as well. So two really good publications that kind of go hand in hand, just because we know reaching people where we are, where they are is key for this. And a lot of these landowners, they might not be email, they might not be social media. We're seeing that more and more, and we're showcasing more of those stories and before and afters as well there. But, you know, we want to get that directly in the mailbox for those folks so they can have it in their hand, they can talk about it at coffee, and then they can take that to their private lands biologist.
Very good. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Additional questions from the commission? Seeing no questions, that's a lot of good information. Thank you for putting that together for us. I do have down that Mark Norton is also joining us. Is he joining? I can
turn it over to him, Madam Chair, if you may. Mark Norton, our hunting access and farm bill coordinator, will be given an update here on the draft.
Thank you, Ryan.
Got his camera on and ready to go.
Mark, I have your presentation. I can share it here, and then we'll just go do it like that.
All right, sounds good. All right. Good morning, Madam Chair, fellow commissioners, and Secretary Roebling. Mark Norton, Hunting Access and Farm Bill Coordinator for South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. Last time I talked to the commission about CREP was, I think, November of 2022, and we were excited to announce we had recently completed a new agreement with the United States Department of Agriculture to create the Big Sioux River Watershed CREP. And I will be giving you guys an update on how that is going, as well as on our James River Watershed CREP. So to start off, what is the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program? So this is a partnership between USDA's Farm Service Agency and another entity to create a Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP initiative, that targets and addresses recognized priorities and objectives in a cost-effective manner. It requires that partner cover at 20 to 30% of the overall project costs. And as a department, we have used CREP as a state-sponsored CRP project that requires public hunting and fishing access. And with our partnership funding primarily coming from hunting and fishing license sales. So I mentioned we have two CREP projects in the state. The first started back in 2009 in the James River watershed, shown in orange, and then our newest project in the Big Sioux River watershed in blue. Egg producers enroll crop land or marginal pasture land meeting CRP enrollment eligibility and willing to allow public hunting and fishing access by working with Farm Service Agency staff, Natural Resources Conservation Service staff, our Pheasants Forever Farm Bill biologists, and our private lands habitat biologists with Game Fish and Parks. So it's a pretty big partnership enrollment process. So landowners complete both a CRP contract with USDA, just like if they were going to enroll into CRP, and they also complete a CREP agreement with Game Fish and Parks. And the Game Fish and Parks CREP agreement then makes an annual payment to them based on a percentage of the CRP rental rate for the partnering CRP contract. Once it's enrolled, Those lands are added to our public hunting access maps and posted in the field with signs notifying the public that these are open to public hunting and fishing access. They also receive cost share to establish and restore grasslands and wetlands, and annual payments from the Farm Service Agency and from Game Fish and Parks for 10 to 15 year contracts. So the goals of these PREP projects, overall combined enrollment goal of 125,000 acres. The goal was just within the James River watershed is 100,000 acres and 25,000 in the Big Sioux River watershed. They would like to restore wetlands and grasslands to store water and serve as breeding habitat for migratory and resident wetland and grassland dependent wildlife species. Improve water quality through reduced sediment, phosphorus, and nitrogen runoff from crop ground. And produce more ducks and pheasants, as well as open up additional areas to public hunting and fishing access. So as of May 1st, which is the latest any new contracts have started, or most recent time, we are at a little over 85,000 acres enrolled in both projects, with over 82,000 acres in the James River watershed and almost 3,000 acres enrolled in the Big Sioux River watershed. Like I said, the James River watershed has been around since 2009, so it's had a little bit more time to enroll land into the program. And the first contract enrolled in the Big Sioux River watershed PREP was started in January of 2023, so a little over a year and a half, about a year and a half ago now. So some of the results of these lands enrolled in CREP are improved water quality with a reduction of sediment, nitrogen, and phosphorus, and a buffering of over 121 miles of rivers and streams by over 37,000 acres of adjacent cropland that has been enrolled in one of these CREPs. The wildlife benefits. There's an estimated production of an additional 48,000 ducks and 225,000 pheasants per year. And we've also created breeding habitat for 7 bird species of conservation concern in South Dakota, including bobolink, upland sandpiper, western meadowlarks, grasshopper sparrows, savannah sparrows, dick thistles, and cedron. As far as public hunting and fishing access, we have created and opened over 1,050 pieces of private land to public walk-in hunting and fishing, most of which is in the James River, as you saw on those maps, with over 1,000 and right now a little over 50 new areas within the Big Sioux River watershed. The CREP program's cost the federal government about $10.4 million. Those are annual payments to CREP landowners who have enrolled their land into the program, and an annual payment from South Dakota Game Fish and Parks of about $3.6 million. So overall annual program cost of $14 million. I mentioned that the James River watershed started back in 2009 with enrollment. So we've had, and that the contracts are 10 to 15 years in length. The breakdown of that is usually about 75% are 10-year contracts and about 25% are closer to 15-year contracts. And so we've had quite a bit of contracts expire from the James River watershed in the last 4 to 5 years now. This year, we have just a little over 3,700 acres expiring from the James River watershed CREP on September 30th. And we've been working with those cooperators and participants to re-enroll those for another 10 to 15 years. Over the last 4 years, we've had almost 66,000 acres that were enrolled a decade or more ago expire, and we have been able to re-enroll 78% of them, or over 51,000 acres. So in one way to look at that is we were unable to re-enroll about 14,000 acres that were originally enrolled. But enter the Habitat stamp. So you've probably heard about the Habitat stamp a few times in the last few years, but this was created in 2020, and this was a good shot in the arm of funding for game fish and parks. And a couple of the big things that allowed our agency to do was to reopen the James River watershed to new enrollments. We had suspended new enrollments back in 2014 because the cost of rental rates and land had increased so much over those 4 to 5 years that what we had originally budgeted for to enroll 100,000 acres could only fund about a little over 80,000 acres of enrollment. So we had suspended new enrollments in the James River CREP until this Habitat stamp was created, generating additional revenue to focus on increasing public access to private lands. And so we have started new enrollments there, and it also allowed us to enter into a second CREP agreement and create the Big Sioux River Watershed Project in 2022. So as a result of that, the James River CREP has enrolled over 16,700 new acres since 2021. And the Big Sioux CREP is now over 2,800 acres of land into those CREP, combining for a little less than 20,000 acres. And right now, we have in queue over 2,700 acres between the both CREP projects that are set to start this fall, October 1st or later. That would be in addition to those 19,500. So the Habitat stamp has been critical for continuing to enroll land into CREP. With that, I'll take any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mark. Any questions for Mark on what we just heard? Those are impressive numbers, and it's good to see that continued partnership and providing more access for our users. So, yes. Oh, you have a question, Commissioner Watkin?
I was wondering if we could circle back to something that Nick said. They've got the publication, the Landowner Matters, and it's a very good publication. And I started thinking maybe some of the commissioners don't see it. So maybe Nick could email it out or something to make sure everybody's got it. It's really well done.
Thank you, Commissioner Locken. Nick Harrington, Communications Manager. We can certainly bring hard copies for all the commissioners. It is available on our website as well. We have a whole landowners tab that showcases all the features that we have for landowners on our site. We have a PDF on that, and I'll make sure that you all receive a hard copy too if you don't already receive it at your homes.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Locken. Any additional comments? See no other comments. Thank you very much for both of those presentations. Good information coming forward. We will move to